Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Has anybody ever got up in the middle of the night or got up early in the morning, or you morning workers, and gone to have a shower and the hot water's not working? It's really annoying, isn't it? And so what do you do next when there's no hot water? What do you go and look for next? You go and look for your husband, and then you ask him to go and check the hot water heater. Is that right? It's all about the pilot light, isn't it? And that's what I wanted to talk to you today. I want to talk to you about the pilot light. Now, for those ladies that don't know what a pilot light is, us single mums have had to learn what a pilot light is. It's usually in the early morning or late at night when it's dark. You go outside, there is actually a water heater on the side of the house, and the hole that you have to bend down on your knees and look through, they don't make it big enough, do they? So you've got to bend right down and look through the hole, and then you've got to click that thing so many times. You think, I think I'm breaking it. I'm clicking this so many times with a match that ends up burning your hand. Am I close?
Yes.
Finally, you get the pilot light going, and then you're waiting, and you're turning it, and then the pilot light goes out again, so you start again. But that moment, isn't it a wonderful, and I know you can all feel it, when you turn that knob and you hear the whoosh of the pilot light starting to heat up the water. It's like, you beauty, I am going to have a hot shower in probably about half an hour. But at least it's working now. So you get so excited, don't you? We're a lot like that. And what happened during conference for me, we had a special evangelism session with Ben Fitzgerald, Pastor Ben. And he asked us just to just sit and wait on God and to see if we could see anything that was going to be happening in Australia, Australia for Jesus. And I saw like a pilot light. You know how we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and it's like a little pilot light on top of their heads? I saw these people getting before God. And it was like the Holy Spirit came like a flood. Whoosh. Their entire body became a flame. Wow. They were burning. And you know what else was happening at the same time? Was as they were standing there, there were flames dripping off their fingertips. And I said, what is that? Why is the flame dripping off their fingertips? No, I'm sorry, Dave, I'll go this way. It's the impurities. Have you ever seen hot metal and all of the dross just dripping off in flames? It was our impurities as we stay on fire for God, as he heats us up to be who he wants us to be, that these impurities were starting to drip off. So then what happened? Well, I saw this person in their house. It was like Higginbotham Street in Coburg, which many of you won't really know, but it's a Californian bungalow, if you know houses at all. And I was walking down the street. Can I get the one with the house with the shining light coming out of it, please? And I saw this house, and coming out from this house was this glow, was this bright orange glow. And you know who lived in there? People who were on fire for God.
Wow.
People who had totally given themselves over to say, you know what, Lord, do with me as you want. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. And the effect that that had on me walking past on the street, I was drawn to it. I was drawn to that glow. There was a couple of things as I was standing looking at that house, and it might be you today. I know it was me a few years ago. I'll tell you my testimony in a minute. I wanted to be in that house. It was a bit cold standing outside that house. And some of us as Christians, we look and say, you know what, I'd love to be in there. I really want to be in there, Lord. I don't know how I can get in there and be that on fire for you. But today is your day. God is here. The Holy Spirit is here for a fresh infilling and a fire that burns so bright that your family, that your friends, that the world will know, yeah?
Come on.
So as I was walking past this house, next thing you know, the house next door caught on fire as well. Well, it wasn't on fire. The people inside it were on fire. And can you put up my title for me, please, Emmanuel? Thank you so much. My title today is Win One Until the Whole World Knows.
Wow, it's great, Jane.
So as it was going along the street, all of a sudden I went up like this. And you could see it coming, all of the suburbs, Werribee all came together, Altona, it went into Melbourne, it went up to Sydney, up Brisbane, all the way over to Darwin and came down through Uluru, came down through Perth, across to Adelaide and to Tasmania. And from there were arcs going out across the whole world.
So good.
Hallelujah. It takes people on fire. It takes people that are on their face before God. There's two things I want to talk to you quickly about today. The first one is God's heart is for us to reignite.
Yeah, come on. It's great.
Okay? So the first thing is reignite. Let me go through. We've got a text today. The text is Acts chapter 1, if we can go there, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus is about to ascend. He's just spent 40 days with his disciples, just loving on them. And he says, gathering together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they'd come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So the first thing that I wanted to talk to you about this morning was about waiting. He asked them to wait. He asked them to wait for what the Father had promised. And not to head off in their own strength. For what was coming, it says in the word, would turn the world upside down.
Yeah, come on.
How often do we go off and say, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea, and we don't take that time to wait on God. A vital, vital part of witnessing is intercession.
Yeah, right.
It's getting on your face before God. Because there are people that the Holy Spirit has been moving on. There are people that have been saying, how many times have you heard it? There are people that have said, Lord, if you're really there, send someone past me today to tell me that you love me. We need to have that connection. We need to have that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So that when we head out, every single minute is not wasted.
That's right.
But every single minute will be for his glory. And we will speak to the people that God wants us to speak to. Yeah? So waiting is really, really important. I heard this week from a very wise person. It might have been in my intensive. We're only motivated by what is important to us.
Wow.
Or what we value. If you can understand the heart of the Father, what the Father values, your life will change.
Yeah, come on.
What you value will change. I will tell you that I never really wanted to go out on the streets. I had a very sensitive nose, and I couldn't really go out on the streets. You know, put me in a shopping centre, I can talk to people till I'm blue in the face. But I tell you what, and this is what we need to get on our knees before God and wait on Him for, is, Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your call for my life? I saw this girl in an alleyway, a dark alleyway, and my heart just broke for her. She was so lost. She'd been left behind by her friends and she was scared and she was alone. But it was on that day that the Father's heart came to me with a burden for those people on the streets. And I really pray that you would have that as well. That as you pray, that what's motivating you would not be your heart, for you were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. But not I, but Christ lives in me. When people do heart transplants, studies have shown that they take on that heart's, the recipients take on that heart's personality. They take on their hobbies and their loves. Every single one of you who have given your life to the Lord, who are now dead in your sins, have been made alive to Christ. And you carry the heart of the Father within you. You need to be looking on your knees. We all need to be looking on our knees and say, Father, I want to have your heart. Show me your heart. Show me your values. Show me what motivates you for people on the streets. Hallelujah. When you see someone sitting and crying and messy on the streets, your heart and mercy will flow. As the Holy Spirit shows you just how important to the Father, how Jesus sacrificed his life for them. Hallelujah. The second one is that you will receive power. We all know that. Yep, you'll receive power. Okay, what does that mean for me? So remember the pilot light. A lot of us as Christians, we've got a pilot light. Yes, I've been saved. I've been deposit of the Holy Spirit, and we carry a candle for God. We may not be the pilot light, but we're going to carry a candle. It's really important that we remember the pilot light, that we are obedient. That's a big one, isn't it? We can say we're obedient, but I tell you what, when you see that person and God goes, hey, go talk to them, you go, I'm off the clock at the moment, Lord. I may have done that once. I only did it once and I felt terrible afterwards. But when we're obedient to God, when we're waiting with that pilot light in readiness, what a beautiful picture that the Holy Spirit, when God comes along and goes, okay, let's go, bang, turns it up. I'm ready. I'm obedient. I'm out there.
It's great.
Sunny. When we were in Point Cook, remember? We were walking along and he said, oh, I don't know. I don't think I know what to do. All of a sudden, he was ready. God turned up the flame and there was a Sikh family for him to talk to.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't God good? You be available. You have that pilot light ready and God will turn up the heat. Hey? Sometimes you might not feel like you want the heat. But I tell you what, it is a glorious place to be.
So good.
We've got a culture here at Pneuma, which is prayer fuels power. So we need to be ready. Don't be the bridesmaid without any oil in your lamp. It's up to you. It's our responsibility. And I'm talking to myself here. It's our responsibility, isn't it, to make sure that our lamps are full. Because you never, ever know when God's going to say, that person over there has just lost someone. Or that person over there tried to take their life last night. We are losing so many people on the other side of the train track. We lost another one this week that are just taking their lives because they don't have anything to look forward to. They don't feel that anybody loves them. But we know God loves them so much that he sent his son to die for them. So what changed Peter into a bold lion? I bet you know already. Can you see Peter preaching? 3,000 people. How many were there to start with? That's amazing. So when you're prayed up, you're fueled up, you're primed and you're ready to hear that whoosh at a moment's notice. I'm so excited for what your week's going to look like this week. That you can pray for deliverance, pray for healing, and have that boldness and wisdom of God as you speak to that person. Because without that intimacy, you're not ready to go. And how sad would it be if God tapped you on the shoulder and you said, I'm kind of busy today, Lord. And he goes looking for someone else. I never, ever, ever want that to happen to me. Ever. So, we're up to be my witnesses. He didn't call everyone to be an evangelist, but he did call everyone to be a witness.
Yeah, wow,
that's good. So we've all got a testimony, haven't we? We've all come through something. Whether it's salvation, we're ready to share. A witness is one who testifies about something. It says in Acts 5:32 that we're witnesses of all these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Okay, we're going to go down to... Let's do some place names. Everybody, can I have the map, please? So it was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. This is a map of Israel, and I didn't know this. It was good when I was looking at that verse. It was good when I was looking at the woman at the well, remember?
Yeah.
First of all, we'll do Jerusalem, right down the bottom there. So Jerusalem was where they live. That's your family. You were called to be witnesses, that glowing light to your family, to your neighbour. Do you ever take their bin in for them, or what do you do for your neighbour? It could be the street that you're in. Have a block party. Do something. Be who you are in God and let your love show, his love show, his heart show towards those people that are closest to you. Amen. The next one's Judea, which was the state or the region like Victoria that we live in. So going to a shopping centre, praise God, coming up soon on the 10th of August. If you see somebody on crutches, if you see somebody down at Werribee Plaza or Wezza, as we like to call it, imagine if you're walking along and you see somebody sitting there crying and the heart of God just cries out, go and sit with them. How wonderful it is that you are in the right place at the right time and that God has put his hand on your life to say, you know what, you've got exactly what they need. And you sit with them and you go, wow, you went through that as well, and it touches something in you because you've... How many times have you had that happen? God is so good, isn't he?
Yeah, come on.
So that's Judea. The second last one is Samaria. And I put this map up here because this was me. People in Samaria had a long, long history of idol worship. The Assyrians came in and took them over. So some of them were pagans, some of them were Christians. Remember the lady at the well, she knew about Jacob's well? So some of them were Christians, some of them were pagans. But Jesus went to a town named Sychar. And we can find that story. Oh, we won't go in and have a look, but it's in John 4. The name of the town was Sychar. Now, this is really important for us because Sychar means intoxicating drink or drunkards that had given themselves over to pleasures, addictions and all sorts of things. And yet this was the place that Jesus chose to go to talk to the woman at the well. Our church, our location is really, really important. God has put us in the middle of a community that needs God so much. There are so many people living around us. There are Christians. There are people who do not know God. And He wants us to have a heart for our community. With these paths, and I want you to be honest, I used to take one of the paths around the edge. So when Jesus went, He went straight up the middle. But most Jews, they took either the red path, they went all the way around, extra day's journey, or the red path where they cross the river and go on the other side of the river, just so they don't have to go into Samaria, because they didn't like them. They didn't agree with them. And now, Holy Spirit, please show everybody in this room some people that you do not want to talk to, some people that you do not agree with, because God is challenging us today. God is challenging us today. I don't care who they are. All of us have been in sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who are we to say, oh, I won't go and talk to you because you don't believe what I believe? That's the very point. That's the very point of why Jesus came to die for us. Amen? So we're not going to shun them. Praise the Lord. So that's why I wanted to say about the prophecy, that the wells previously dug by past generations, but it wasn't going to take too much digging to hit water. And the very last one was the ends of the world. I know there are people in this room who are about to or have been on mission, and that is an amazing thing, to be able to go to the ends of the world and just speak to people about Jesus. Okay, I am going to give you my testimony. Praise the Lord. Okay. Mum knows most of this, don't you, Mum? So I've been in church most of my life and I got saved. We weren't quite missionaries, but we worked alongside Dean Sherman and the guys in, well, I didn't, I was a kid. Dean Sherman in YWAM, Barry Silverback up in Port Moresby. And at the age of 11, I was homesick one day and I got attacked sexually by our house servant. And when my dad came home from work that day, he blamed me and said it was my fault. And didn't sack him because it was Jane's fault. But he did sack him when he used his shaver. And years later, I realised, an amazing counsellor, Mike Wells, said, you felt that you were worth less than a shaver, because he didn't sack him for you, he sacked him because of the shaver. My dad was a very strong disciplinarian, so we would get the belt, the buckle end, and we would get all sorts of stuff. My dad used to like to drink at times. I fell pregnant at 19. So you get this wanting to please people. You get this wanting to... I fell pregnant at 19. God said, Dad said, maybe God can forgive you, Jane, but I never will. That leaves you very open to wanting to please people. You're constantly chasing somebody for love. You're constantly chasing somebody to validate you, to say, you're worth something. When I felt about that big, and every now and then that thought pops up and I go, you get back where you came from, because I'm worth a lot to the Lord now. Yeah. So, music director in the church, wrote some songs, played music director in the church, but I let offence drag me out of the church. Offence was like a big grappling hook. You know those great big ones they throw up on rocks so you can climb up mountains? That grappling hook, and if you're even considering offence right now, just don't. Because it grabbed me in my heart and pulled me out of the church. And I was out of it for 8 years. A sin-filled life, and I lived in a very, very dark corner. I still thought I was a Christian. I used to talk to the Lord, but you look back and you go, I don't think that means what you think it means. So burnout and sin filled my life like a thick smoke for about 8 years, full of violent, unfaithful relationships, full of rejection, as I kept chasing for that person who would love me. And all the time, God kept saying, the prince and the pauper, I've put you on earth to be a prince. You know, you're in me. Your identity is in me. One day, I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of just to feel loved. I cried out to God when I got breast cancer. I cried out to God and He remembered me. Come on. And I know that sounds really simple, but that day when God remembered me, I discovered a God of grace and forgiveness in a glorious encounter. He reminded me how much He loved me and that I didn't have to do anything, just to repent and believe in Him. I fully forgave my father. We had a lovely time together of forgiveness. He died a few years ago, and praise God, I was able to go to his bed by myself and forgive him. And he couldn't talk, he couldn't do anything. He died later that night, but he had tears rolling down his cheek. Forgiveness is such a big thing, people. It is such a strong thing, and for you to withhold forgiveness from anybody only hurts your life. It doesn't hurt theirs. So I gave my life totally to God, not what I wanted to do to fill my own needs, but to be obedient to Him and to walk and hear His voice. So the first one was to reignite. And the second one we've now found is to share the light, to be His witnesses. What does that look like for you? You know, you don't have to stand on a soapbox. I did for the first time the other day. It was a bit trippy. There's relational evangelism. I walked with a lady once a week for 2 years. Wow. She was an alcoholic. Her children had left. They didn't want to know anything about her. After 2 years of walking with her, she came to the Lord. Within 2 or 3 months, she collapsed and got taken to hospital. Found she had bowel cancer that had spread all through her body. And she came to the Lord and she said, all she was praying for was to have her children by her side. Her daughter forgave her. In tears, they both cried and hugged each other. And they were standing by her side when she passed away. That's God. That is the power of God. That is amazing. There's invitational. We talked about Alpha before. Invite someone along. We have so much fun. We have such a great time. Invite them to church. Taking the bins in is a service-based. There's the testimonial. Tell somebody your testimony. You've been through so much. I can sit down with someone who's been in a violent relationship. I can sit down with someone who's had a dad who wasn't all that nice to them. God brings people alongside you. You can be like Dave and be an apologetic person who knows how to argue with people. He knows a lot of stuff, don't you? He shrugs. But I just wanted to close off, if I could get Hayden to come up, please. I just wanted to ask you today, where are you? Where are you as far as being reignited with God? We're family here. But God really needs us to reignite so that light can be shown to the world and not hid under a bushel. It's a bit hard to hide a blaze under one of those baskets, I would think. I want to be on fire for God. The other people that I wanted to talk to today is, I heard a story from Ray Comfort about an aeroplane flight. And these two people were sitting in the plane. And a guy came up and he gave one person a parachute. And he said, "Hey, take the parachute, Hannah. Take the parachute, put the parachute on." It was really heavy and cumbersome and, you know, you'll have a better flight if you put the parachute on. So Hannah puts the parachute on and it's a bit heavy and not really very comfortable because you can't lean back or anything. And people around her, "What do you got that on for?" Started laughing and mocking her for wearing that. She says, "It's not really making my life much better. I'm just going to take it off." So she just takes it off and throws it. But then there was another person. And he went up to that person with a parachute. And he said, "One time really soon, you're going to need to jump 25,000 feet. Here's a parachute." And that person took the parachute and they put it on. We all know the law of gravity. And I think this person over here knows the law of gravity and knows what's going to happen if he jumps out of a plane at 25,000 feet without a parachute. It says in the Bible to put on Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? The same law of gravity. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I just want us to close our eyes right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we come to you. Just put your hands out. Lord, we come to you right now. Examine my heart, Lord. Examine my heart, Lord. I don't want to be far from you today, Lord. Reignite me. Lord, let me be a burning flame for you. Lord, let me be ready for you. so that at any moment I can be called to do what it is that you want me to do. Lord, let my life be full of joy. Let my life be full of hope to give others in your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you are available, that you are merely waiting for us to ask you. And we ask you right now, fill us to overflowing. Oh, Lord, give us that desire to pray, to seek your face, to get on our knees and don't get up until we know that we know that we know. Oh, Lord. And Lord, that we would share the light this morning. Oh, I don't know your story this morning, but I just pray that this week, this month, this year, that you would have someone come across your way. That you would be able to share the love and the hope of God. Salvation of Jesus Christ with someone and lead them to a life. Everlasting, eternal life. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.